Hello, everybody. This is Janice Malone with Film Festival Radio Show, and you are about to listen to one of our previously recorded best of shows. We're taking a break this weekend, but guess what? We'll be back next Saturday for a brand new edition of Film Festival Radio Show. So have a great and safe weekend, and we'll see you next Saturday. Bye-bye.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone. Film Festival Radio is superstars and future stars together on the same show.
Okay, here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Film Festival Radio Show. I'm Janice Malone, your host here. Thank you for joining us. And I want to say to people who, like me, we were scheduled, thought we were going to attend the big music festival, Lovers and Friends. Unfortunately, they had to cancel it because of weather. You know, the high winds that are approaching, supposedly going to get worse. I was going to attend that one, actually. I was. But you know what? They'll figure it out. I'm sure eventually they will reschedule it or something like that. Just reschedule. But anyway, if you came from far away to attend the festival, that's okay. Vegas is still a fun city. It never stops on the fun. Just continue to enjoy yourself here, starting with listening to us on the show here, okay? Well, listen, talking about the show, we have guests. We have a lot of guests. We have, what do we got, four? I think, so. Yeah, four guests. And listen, tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo Day. Hey, fun festival. It's so much fun. It's great music, good food, good drinks. And that brings me to one of our guests. One of our guests is an expert on tequila, margaritas, and all of those exotic, wonderfully tasty drinks. His name is, we'll get his name and all that as we go into the show. But anyway, so we're calling that segment Tequila Talk because our guest, Angelo, will be telling us so much about the latest in tequila drinks and tequila, just everything, tequila and margarita in honor of Cinco de Mayo. We have the host of the docuseries, Changing Planet Coral special that airs every Wednesday on the PBS National Network there, talking about how our coral reefs are disappearing and they are in danger because of global warming, because of so many different things. So it is now a docuseries that is a multi-part one there, just telling us what's going on with our coral reefs around the world and hopefully what we all can do to help slow down this problem or maybe just eradicate it altogether. So we have the host of that show, docuseries, will be joining us. And to further speak of docuseries, we have another docuseries that's titled Taste, Flavor of Life. And that is currently streaming on the Curiosity Stream Network. And we will have the host and the gentleman who is the creator of this series telling us about, what is it about? Well, it is about how our taste buds and our sense of taste, how it relates and correlates with animals, and how all of that works in conjunction with our brain functions. And it's just really fascinating stuff. It's not just, you know, just not just information, but it's also very entertaining as well. So again, it is currently streaming on the Curiosity Stream Network. So if you have that network or that app, go look for the series. It's titled Taste, the Flavor of Life, and we'll be talking with the creator of it shortly here. And for those of you who are fans of NBC's new hit show, Deal or No Deal Island, we have Aaron Barbell. He was one of the contestants who was eliminated, unfortunately, last Monday night. But it's okay because Aaron has big things ahead for himself. So he will be chatting with us about his final show last Monday and what his plans are and just a little bit of the strategy that he used and working, having fun on Deal or No Deal Island. So he will be joining us. So, okay. And what else? Oh, if we have time, I hope we have time, I'll share a couple of audition notices for you if we could squeeze that in. So that's our lineup of guests. Go get yourself a margarita. Speaking of margaritas, they're just kind of start early for Cinco de Mayo. I know I plan on doing them. I've got that coconut one that he's going to be talking about. Yeah, I can do that. Oops, I hit my microphone there. Maybe I need to stop sipping on my margarita. But anyway, go get something to sip on while you're listening to us here on Film Festival Radio Show. So take a break. And when we come back, we will have our first guest. So stay tuned. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. Okay, we are back, and let's start the show. Let's get things going here. Well, tomorrow is May 5, Cinco de Mayo Day all over the country. Oh my goodness, Cinco de Mayo is one of my favorite summertime holidays. It's fun, it's drinks, it's great food, it's great people and music. It's just a lot of fun. And so in honor of Cinco de Mayo, we have our next guest. His name is Joey Angelo, and he is a resident, I guess you could say resident expert about pretty much everything involving margaritas. Yeah, and that's because he is a very successful entrepreneur. He is a liquor industry veteran, vet specialist when it comes to agave spirits, tequila, mezcal, and canned margarita beverages, because he owns companies that specializes in all three. So we're going to be talking with Joey about tequila and margaritas and how for the first time ever, agave spirits, and that is tequila, mezcal, they are now outselling vodka. Yeah, in bars and other establishments throughout the country. Number one, it's amazing. I mean, no complaints from me, but we're going to talk with Joey Angelo again about what is going on as to why it has just soared to number one. It's kind of leaving everybody else behind to say catch up there. So anyway, I had the opportunity to talk with Joey Angelo. And we're going to talk about a lot of cool things, a lot of cool drinks, new margarita blends, recipes that you might want to remember as you are preparing. And so we're going to talk about a lot of really cool things, different recipes for margaritas, some of the latest ones. And Joey is an expert. So let's bring Joey Angelo on right now for some tequila talk. So let's do it. I want to tell everybody that we are speaking with Joey Angelo. You, not only are you a very successful businessman, entrepreneur, but you are the, I would call you the reigning margarita expert king here.
is that based on consumption or how much I know about the cocktail?
It might be a little bit of both, maybe. Both. But you've got to sample your ware, of course, to be successful businessman in this whole product. So yes.
That's correct. Absolutely. Right.
Well, yeah. So Angelo, of course, we know Cinco de Mayo is coming up in a few days and we're going to do a little tequila talk here. So, okay. What is going on with, okay, I understand that agave spirits is outselling almost everybody. So tell us some more about that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Tequila and mezcal are outselling spirits like vodka and rum and gin for the first time ever in the United States. It's a really, really big deal, and it speaks volume. I think just about, you know, the U.S.'s obsession with all things Mexican culture and the lifestyle and And it's an amazing thing. It's really to surpass vodka and gin and rum and things like that in that category. It's never been done before. So it's a really big deal.
What do you think is causing the big surge in sales like that?
You know, I think it's more than a moment. You know, I think it is here to stay. I think the popularity of the margarita really has a lot to do with it. I think the popularity of the Paloma really has a lot to do with it. But I also think it's really, it's about the culture. It's about the food. It's about the vibe. It's about, you know, the friendships and hanging out with loved ones and all that kind of stuff. And that really resonates in the Mexican culture in particular. And it's I think it just speaks volume about all things Mexican culture. I really do.
And so with upcoming, as I said, Cinco de Mayo coming up in a few days here.
That Cinco de Mayo doesn't hurt those numbers either, by the way.
Oh, that's, my goodness.
A National Margarita Day, a National Paloma Day, and all those things like, you know, we really kind of never had before. But it's a really festive, big party, and it feels good. And, you know, and life is stressful enough, especially the world we live in. And, you know, I think people are just looking to have fun and let loose and have a good time. And, I mean, what's better than a margarita?
Man, just have some tacos on the side. I'm there.
Oh, some hot sauce. I'm with you. Absolutely. I'm gonna do that this afternoon, actually.
I think I'll join you on that. Maybe for breakfast here.
Yeah. Breakfast burrito, right?
Exactly. Well, so Joey, okay. Are there any new cocktails for 2024 as far as Cinco de Mayo time or any time this year for involving tequila?
You know, great question. People are getting super duper creative. Me personally, I really kind of go back to the classics, you know, especially with Mezcal and the Mezcal that I own. Like, people are always asking, you know, what they do with Mezcal. But the short answer is anything you do with tequila. That's why I love it. So if you like your margaritas, if you like your Palomas, if you like your spicy margaritas or whatever it may be, just do it with Mezcal. So I lean more towards the classics personally, like a Tommy's margarita. But people are getting really, really creative. There's a cocktail called The Last Word with chartreuse and Aperol. And I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful cocktail. And, you know, there's a lot of creative stuff going on. I had an amazing one with coconut, toasted coconut milk and Aperol. And it just made this pretty beautiful, like, coral kind of color. And, you know, just really, really fun stuff.
Oh, that sounds so good. I love coconut. I would love to drink
that. Oh, then you would love this. It's like, it had a little bit of lime. So it's like really coconutty, but not too much. Very well balanced. You would love that. I'll show you the recipe after, and you can make one at home. They're very easy.
Oh, yeah. Give me an excuse, please. Yes.
Yeah. Twist my arm, why don't you, right?
Absolutely. Well, okay. I know you have had many wonderful Taco Tuesdays. What's a typical Taco Tuesday for you?
You know, again, that's like kind of getting back to your first question. Like, that's another thing. I almost forgot about that. Like, that's a really fun excuse to go out on a Tuesday and have some tacos and have some margaritas again. Like, you know, your friends. And, you know, the name of my mezcal is Su Casa. So, you know, the whole Mi Casa, Su Casa. Yeah. It's very inclusive. It's all about friendships. My house, your house. Like, let's get together. Like, let's make a reason just to hang out and have fun and be with our family and friends. And I think that's all connected. It really, that's what makes holidays like Cinco de Mayo kind of come together. And that's what's, I think, boosting the popularity of tequila and mezcal. It's the friendships.
The friendships. Well, now, okay, we've been talking about tequila, margaritas, and everything. And I want to make sure I mentioned that you have successfully launched three different products, a tequila, mezcal, canned margarita beverage. How can people find you?
Bless you. Bless you.
Yes, absolutely.
That's why I have no hair.
Oh, it's okay. It's for you gave your hair up for a good cause. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm 3 for 3. I'm absolutely blessed. And in a career, 15 years working for all the big companies, and you know them well, the Patrons and the Casamigos and the Don Julios. And right around 2016, I kind of took that leap and bet on myself, and I never went back. And it was scary, but so happy I did it.
So how can people find your companies? Are they all on one site or what?
They're not. They're all separate. Super easy to find, though. On Instagram first, it's at Su Casa Mezcal. If you want to purchase it online, it's sucasamezcal.com. Our canned margarita is at Sip Margs on Instagram. If you'd like to purchase online, it's sipmargs.com. Super easy. We're in about 40 states, so I mean, you can pretty much get it anywhere. And most of your major retailers.
Oh, great. Now, we are in Vegas, of course. I know you are all over our place here. Got to be.
We try.
Got to be. Well, do you
we like Vegas a lot.
Oh, I bet. And Vegas loves you, too. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's certainly a fun one, for sure.
So, do you have any recipes for drinks and such?
What I like to do personally, just my personal preference, because I don't love sweet per se. Like, I'm not a big dessert person. I kind of lean more towards like salty stuff and pretzels. And so I like a traditional Tommy's margarita personally. And that would be 2 ounces of spirit. Mezcal is a great, or if you want to use a tequila, 1 ounce of lime juice, or if you like it a little more limey, maybe 1.5 ounces, and just a little bit of agave, just a touch, maybe 1/4 ounce. And you shake it really, really nice and pour it over fresh ice, garnish with a lime wheel, and you're good to go. That's how I like it.
God, it does sound so delicious. I know.
It's also kind of skinny too, because you use a little bit of agave, so not a lot of sugar. So if you're counting calories and all that kind of stuff, pretty much everybody is, it's a good way to keep the calories down and still enjoy a delicious cocktail.
I can only imagine friends and family volunteering to be tasters for your companies.
There's no shortage of volunteers, I'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to line up, get in that line, too. So.
Yeah. I have people line up that I don't even know who they are. That's how quickly they line up. But it's all good. It's all good.
It sounds very delicious. I'm still thinking about that coconut drink. But
yeah, that one's awesome. I'll shoot you that recipe after the show. It's really delicious. And it's like 3 steps. You'll nail it on your first try. It's very easy.
Oh yeah, and if I mess it up, I'll just drink it and try it all over again. It'll be fun.
That's right. we don't waste.
No. Well, Joey, I know you have other media to talk to. You are such a delight. Oh, thank you.
Likewise.
So much.
Likewise.
So
much. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll see you Cinco de Mayo, and anytime we want a margarita, we'll think about you.
That's right. I hope you do. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay, then. Take care, then. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Okay, same to you. Bye-bye. Okay, thank you so much, Angelo. I am thinking so hard about that coconut drink. Was it a margarita? Doesn't matter. I love coconut. I can just see myself sipping on that with a slice of coconut cream cake. Yeah. But anyway, he's going to send me the recipe and I will send it and share it with you if you'd like. Drop me a line, info@filmfestivalradio.com, and I'll be more than happy to send it to you. Okay. Let's continue on here. Well, and I do mean WELP, welp. If you've been following NBC's new hits reality show, Deal or No Deal Island, last Monday night, that was episode 10, and they are down to the final 4. They started with 13, and now there are only 4. And one of the contestants who did not make the cut is our guest. We're talking, about to speak with Aaron Barbell. Aaron, yeah, we saw him last Monday night. He went, it all went down in the temple. He got a rocky start. Started off with the $4 million, then $6 million, then $3 million cases. It just went down. It just went all the way down. And unfortunately, Aaron's case contained $3.5 million, which confirmed that he had made a bad deal, in summary. So he had the goodbye. Bye-bye, all that kind of great stuff. But he left, but he's good. He is good. He was eliminated, but he is our guest. And so he has plans here. So let me tell you a little bit about Aaron. Again, his name is Aaron Barbell, originally from Boston, and he's a tax accountant. And he just, he seems like one of those really super smart guys. You would never associate him with being, like this survivalist type person. But he proved us wrong, didn't he? Now, Aaron overcame a speech impediment as a child, which made him a real master of listening and knowing how to navigate social situations. So he used it to his advantage as an adult. And so now that he has shown the world that he's not just this brainy, smart man, he is also a ruthless contestant when it comes to making his money there. And so we had a lot of fun watching him on Deal or No Deal Island. And there is a lot of plans that he has coming up for his life. So he's going to share that with us in this upcoming interview here. He also loves sports, and he loves especially basketball. So this is his time of season as we drag into the NBA finals. Oh, the finals. It just takes forever for the NBA's playoffs. Isn't it a long season for the playoffs? But that's another story. We had some technical problems with the beginning of the interview, and we kind of lost the portion of when I asked him. The question was, Aaron, what would you change about your last episode last Monday night? If you could change anything, what would you change? That was the question. So we lost that part of the interview. So the interview is going to pick up where Aaron is answering my question. So apologize for that. Zoom, it's not perfect, but we do what we can. So anyway, let's take a listen, pick it up again, right where I ask Aaron, if you had anything to change about last Monday night's competition, what would you do differently? So let's pick it up and listen to Aaron Barbel, who was eliminated last night on NBC's Deal or No Deal Island. So let's take a listen right now.
Me, it's a really, you know, it's really easy stuff. You know, I just, you know, at this core, you know, in a grand scheme of things, I said, I wish I wouldn't say, because I got to guess myself. The specifics is, I should have just taken that 3.5, put all my votes to the wall like I did, and not play this middle ground. I really, you know, I second guessed myself. Like, Stephanie, I knew Stephanie was lying, but I thought that Stephanie had a point that maybe I was playing Rob's game and not playing my own game, and I was trying to balance both sides. I was trying to be nice to everybody and trying to find the middle ground. It was stupid. Like, what am I thinking? So, I it's really easy. I had the knowledge. I should have thought, known it in foresight, but just picked the higher case, get Rob, and I would have been in the final four. But look, what happened, and now I know. Go with your guts. Don't second guess yourself, and it is a growing opportunity. So. I'm still happy with the way it all laid out.
Aaron, you seem like such a nice young man. Do you think you were too nice for this show or what?
Maybe. I think it was a little too trusting. I think I was a little too easily overwhelmed. I still think I had a conniving bone for sure. I definitely, you know, I think I always use the example of like Amy came up to me and was like, I want to do final two, like early in the game. And I knew she was, I didn't really believe it 100%, but I thought, well, my brain said, hold Nick close. And she said, I don't want to be the final two of the Wobble Nick. They're going to beat me. So I said, well, I'm going to, you know, turn that a little bit. I'm going to tell it to Rob and Nick. And I sure did. I said, oh, you know, Amy's throwing your name out there. So my hope was to rile Nick because they were so close. I really wanted to try to get everybody against, you know, with me and against each other. So I definitely had those thoughts, but once I was kind of the minority, I kind of started getting too much influence, and rather than trying to push my way, I try to, you know, I let people pull me in different directions. So definitely a little too nice, but I have a backbone. I stand up for myself.
I believe you. I really do. Yes. We've interviewed some of the other contestants on that have been on the show. And so they all spoke nicely, highly of you. So, okay. Give me a couple of your best memories that you will take away from this show, being on this show.
Yeah. I mean, the number one would have been me tricking Rob, you know? Did Rob second guess himself? Probably, but I'm gonna put it out there in the world that I did it. It's all my doing. I tricked him, and I'm gonna stick with that because it was a lot of fun and that was a blast. You know, just getting to know Rob and Alyssa and Jordan as well. They're three of my closest friends. Was a blast. That was so much fun. You know, like I had a, you know, it's that I'd be really bonding with these people and getting to know them. Like, look, months-wise, I knew the three of them for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, but you're spending 8+ hours with them and you're talking about anything and everything under the sun. There's no phones. So you just bond with people. So I really had a blast really bonding with people. I'm a social person. I love to talk. It's ironically, like, my speech impediment makes it a little harder, but I really love to communicate with people and talk to people. So getting to know the three of them was a blast. And, I'll always prep those memories. It's amazing.
So now that you are nationally known with this hit show here, are you now hooked on wanting to continue to have a career in television or what?
I think so. Yeah. Hooked is a good phrase for it. That is like, you know, if you get this far in and you don't win, you're like, I need to win the next time. And then you feel like Jameel Branson, you're like, my toe dipped in the water. I need to a full fledged moment. So for me, I'm the first half. You know, I got so far and I had a blast. And, you know, I'm very privileged and lucky enough to be able to show some really, you know, genuine kindness energy that people really enjoyed my time there. So, I'd love to play to do another show. The name of the game is always The Traitors. That's the NBC's. NBC is like one of the NBC's top shows. I watch it myself. It is so much fun. So I love doing like many reality shows, but I think The Traitors is my number one right now. Just, you know, being a guy that loved my NBC, loved my deal in Odeo Island. So I hope this is my last one. And I think if it is, I'm still happy with the opportunity. It's a one in a lifetime and very privileged to be in that position.
So what is it like being recognized in public?
It's crazy. People are big fans. They love it. I went down to see Rob in Florida and we got recognized together. And like, not just him. They were like, someone came up to us and was like, I love that you, this is right after the plumbing challenge. Someone yelled out to us and like, I love that you left Rob. And they like, he points to Rob. And, it's been crazy. It's very surreal. I live in a college town. So, you're 21 year olds. I watched Deal or No Deal like 12, 13 years ago, they were like the kids in this town were like 5 and 7. So they don't really recognize me. So it kind of works out in my benefit. But if I go to a restaurant with adults, like I'll get recognized. So it's crazy. It's a lot of fun.
I bet it is. Yeah. Well, one last question here. So what's next for you?
Yeah, I mean, the other question, I have a 9-to-5. I'm still have social media. You know, people can follow me on my Instagram. You go, follow me on really any social media. I my name is Aaron Barbell on all of them. You really get, you know, it's not a common name to be sure.
Yeah.
So, but for me, it's just gonna be social. I'll post to social media talking with fans. But eventually, hopefully, I'll do another show But for now, I'm just enjoying the ride.
Okay, definite last question. Who do you see the remaining contestants? Who do you see winning this?
Every person for themselves. It could be any of the four of them. At this point in the game, like Rob, I think has the most advantage because he's played these games before. But all four of them have won immunity at times. Jordan's actually the only one that hasn't been in the bottom. So I think it's totally up for grabs. I'm rooting for one of my best friends, the world, Rob, and another one of my best friends, Jordan. They are two people that I really appreciate. Been there for me 100 times. You know, again, no, I'm not really, it's water on the bridge with me, Amy and Stephanie, but look, my connection with Rob and Jordan is apparent. At least my connection with Rob was, but I really have one or two of them wins there. But whatever happens, I think it's a more evenly matched, even with Rob being who he is.
Oh wow! Well, we're going to find out. Aaron, we really enjoyed. You were very entertaining. Gave us all the contestants a run for their money there, so to speak. I know it's a bad pun.
Yeah.
But anyway, we can follow you at Aaron Barbell, and Aaron is with one A. And we'll follow you, and hopefully go get that agent, son. We'll see you on another show. How about that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So maybe I'll do some acting. I was acting with my original thing. Maybe I'll lean into it again.
There you go. Acting.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you got a good head start with NBC there. So
there you go.
Again, thank you so much for giving us some backstory, and we will follow you on social media and such.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Take care then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, and the show rolls on. Want to remind you that you're listening to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Giannis Malone. Want to say hello to me? Because I want to say hello to you. Email me, info@filmfestivalradio.com, and I will say hello right back at you. Promise, okay? So, all right. If you are really into the ecology whole movement and global warming, not warning, you know that too, global warming and global warming. You definitely, and also for those of you who are nature lovers, especially aquatic and the oceans and seas and such, you will definitely want to tune in and listen to this one. There is a new series on PBS. It's called Changing Planet, Coral Special. And our guest for this segment is Dr. M. Sanjayan, and he will be talking to us about this series and what it is basically about. Again, the title is Changing Planet, Coral Special. And what Dr. Sanjayan will be talking about is the importance of coral, especially coral reefs, and the threat that climate changes have posed to our coral reefs around the world. And I mean, it's very serious. I had no idea that, of course, corals are beautiful. They do provide a lot for aquatic life as well as human life as well, as far as foods and such. So according to my notes here, 500 million people around the world rely on reefs for food and to protect the coastlines from storms and rising sea levels. So again, very, very important. So we're going to talk about, and this show, again, Changing Planet, Coral Special on PBS every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, check the listings in your time zone to get the exact time there. But it's every Wednesday night on PBS. And so Dr. Sanjayan will give us some information as to what can we do as just regular people out here to help save our reefs, and maybe can they be restored in time or just what? So he's going to answer some of those questions and more. So let's take a listen to my recent interview, which was actually yesterday, with Dr. M. Sanjayan from Changing Planet, Coral Special, this docuseries that airs on Wednesdays on PBS. So let's take a listen right now.
Hi, Janice.
Hello, hello. How are you, Dr. Sanjayan? It's a pleasure to chat with you.
Doing great. Thank you.
Okay, so, I stopped dropping things here. So anyway, let's just jump right in here. Dr. Sanjayan, you are with the very beautiful show. I call it a beautiful show, a Changing Planet Coral Special that airs Wednesdays on PBS. And with this show, you really talk about and give us and educate us about coral reefs and the value and the crisis that they're in. So give us a summary on why are our coral reefs so important and how much danger are they in currently?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this series, Changing Planet, really is a multi-year series that looks at critical habitats around the world and how they change through time. So we're now in season 3. I'm just about to start filming season 4. And for season three, we actually focused all our efforts on one kind of habitat. And so going to lots of different types of habitats like forests and grasslands and deserts, we said coral. And the reason we picked coral is because the oceans right now are at a record high temperature. So if you go to the ocean this summer, you will notice the water being significantly warmer. And that heating of the ocean caused by climate change and global emissions of greenhouse gases, that heating of the ocean has a massive impact on coral reef, has an impact on all marine life. But coral are particularly sensitive to it. And what they do is they initially lose their color, they lose some of their life, and very quickly they die. And if you don't give them relief, they don't recover. And once they die and they break into rubble, it's very difficult to ever put a reef back together again. Now, not only do we lose the spectacular bit of life on Earth, the most biodiverse places on planet Earth are coral reefs, but we also massively impact human communities. So what I didn't know is 500 million people around the world are dependent on coral reefs for their food. And even if you're in Las Vegas and you go and order snapper or grouper at a restaurant or even lobster, part of that life cycle of those fish occurred on reefs. And so when you destroy coral reefs, you're impacting not just coastal communities, but even people living far inland. And you're also impacting, you know, our coastlines and our shores. Florida really wouldn't exist without coral reefs. It absolutely defines the coastline of Florida. And those white sandy beaches that we think about that protect communities, but also provides us with great vacation spots, they exist only because of coral reefs. That's exactly what white sandy beaches are, you know, broken down reefs. So they're very important for human life and, of course, for nature.
And how rapidly, can you estimate how rapidly is this erosion taking place with our coral reefs?
You know, so if I was to pick one habitat type on Earth where you're seeing dramatic change that is visible right now, it would either be, you know, sort of the Arctic ice or coral reefs. And, you know, I think coral are the most sensitive habitat type on Earth, really, to climate change. And they're also the most biodiverse. So more bits of life on Earth are being impacted on coral reefs because of climate than anything else. Now, when you ask me a number, I can tell you this. Over 95% of the coral reefs off of Florida, which is the third biggest barrier reef in the world, have already been gone. So what you see today when you go snorkeling in Florida is 5% or less of what used to be there in my grandfather's time, right? So it's happened very dramatically. And we're down to really the last slivers of what used to be here. And so it's incredibly important that we protect what's there now, because that's going to be the seed for restoration in the future.
And I know that this is a multi-layered answer and we only have 2 minutes, but what can we do as just everyday people to try to slow this down and maybe just avoid it altogether with the destroying of our coral reefs?
Yeah, so ultimately we have to take a much stronger stance on climate change. So reducing emissions, you know, slowing down the heating of the planet is the real only solution ultimately to protect coral reefs. Now, in the meantime, we can do a lot of things to help them along, which is incredibly important. Otherwise, we'll lose them even sooner than so the predictions in terms of climate change. So what's amazing is scientists, and you'll see this in the special, are doing some incredible things. So IVF treatment for coral at scale, using sound as a way of attracting baby coral to swim back and settle on reefs, growing coral in like greenhouses, but I call them blue houses, you know, large numbers of coral, growing them in the lab and then transplanting them into the ocean. So there's some amazing breakthroughs that are happening. But you as a citizen, right, as an individual, you know, what goes into our rivers, you know, asking our municipalities to clean up our rivers makes a big difference. Agricultural runoff, what kinds of fish we eat, making sure they're sustainably sourced or harvested is going to be incredibly important. And then reducing plastic pollution, and ultimately reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So those are all things that are very much within our grasp.
I'm going to make note of that. I'm not very guilty of some of it. Well, I think most of us a little bit, but I'm just going to really be more cognizant about all of what you just mentioned here. And so we're going to, in the meantime, watch you on Changing Planet. Choral Special airs on Wednesdays on PBS. And thank you so much for the work that you do, you and your crew and staff.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll see you on PBS on Wednesdays.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's quite a fascinating topic there. I had, that's quite a fascinating topic. As I said, I had no idea that these global warming and other, you know, pollution, everything else had such a dramatic effect on our coral reef systems around the world. You know, we've all read about it, but I didn't know it was eroding that, you know, so quickly here now. So anyway, as Dr. Sanjayan said, we will all try to do our part to hopefully eradicate the situation, at least slow it down. Well, to further speak of serious topics having to do with science, but still having to do with television entertainment, my next guest is a biologist, an author, and he is a professor at North Carolina State University. And now he is the creator of this new television series that's a docuseries also. It is currently airing on the Curiosity Stream channel. The title of it is Taste, the Flavor of Life. And I'm speaking to, and well, about to speak to, Professor Rob Dunn. Now, this new docuseries, again, is on Curiosity Stream, explores the science of taste and flavor in our taste buds and how it's actually connected to animals. Yeah, I kid you not. That's what the note said. So as the summary says, our appetites are linked to various nutritional requirements, which makes all living things crave what they need and what they like to eat. And again, Dr. Dunn is going to go into more detail. But again, this series shows us how, you know, the impact of taste, of our own taste, whether it's humans and animals, and how there's a lot of similarities within that. So it's very fascinating. So again, before we get done with this segment, you may want to just go check out Curiosity Stream and look for the title again is Taste, the Flavor of Life. And I was just fascinated by what I saw there. So it just started a couple of days ago. And so you can catch it, you know, at your leisure. Make sure you catch it before it leaves. And before you do that, make sure you listen to us because we are about to chat with the creator of the series, again, So we're about to speak to the creator of the series, Taste the Flavor of Life. The docuseries, again, is streaming on Curiosity Stream, Professor Robert Dunn, Rob Dunn for short. So let's take a listen to him right now. Okay. Want to remind everyone that I am about to speak with biologist, author, and professor at North Carolina State University, Professor Rob Dunn. And Professor Dunn, I understand that you are the host and creator of a new docuseries titled Taste the Flavor of Life on the Curiosity Stream. And it just started airing, yesterday? So what is that like for you?
Good morning. It's great. I mean, it's one of these things that you create over many years. This was really led by the filmmaker Ana Maria Talas. And so, you know, all of these moments of filming come into it. And then there's this day when suddenly it's available to people. And so it's wonderful, but also strange.
Wonderful, but strange. Okay. Yeah. Which is all good. Okay. So tell us, what exactly is Taste the Flavor of Life? It sounds like a really cool recipe book, but not quite. So give us some more details about what this series is about.
So it's about the reality that all species, including humans, make many of their choices as a function of taste. And so those experiences of of sweetness, umami, saltiness, sourness. And so as we look out at the living world around us, you know, look at the crow, look at your dog, look at your cat, that all of these species are choosing what to eat as a function of some measure of pleasure and displeasure. And we are in that same boat. And so this series really considers what that means with regard to the choices what we make, that how chefs think about food, and the reality that our choices of food are rooted in this sort of more ancient animal story.
That is so interesting. So our taste receptors, in other words, are connected to animals and vice versa.
Yeah, that's right. And there are differences among animal species and in their taste receptors. And so cats, for example, whether they're a tiger, a leopard, or your house cat, they don't have sweet taste receptors. And so even if we give them sweet food, they don't know it's sweet. Dolphins have lost all of their taste receptors. And so, you know, you could cook them up, make them a birthday cake, and, you know, they would experience no particular pleasure in it. All of their pleasure in eating is about movement and catching something. And so those differences from species to species really influence what they like. And so if you see a crow in your backyard, you know, it's not going to choose exactly the same things you would like because of differences in its taste receptors.
And what about everyone's favorite pet, dogs? What do their receptors seem to lean more towards?
Theirs are relatively similar to ours, more similar than our cats. And they've actually experienced, as we domesticated dogs from wolves, their taste experience changed. And so, you know, many of the foods we humans eat are starchy. And starches don't really have a taste in and of themselves, but in our mouths, we produce amylase, which is an enzyme that breaks the starch down into sugar. And so if you chew something starchy, if you chew a potato, for example, that amylase will start to make it sweet in your mouth and will add to the pleasure of the experience. Well, what we know is that as dogs were domesticated, they ended up with more of that amylase in their mouth. And so when we feed them our starchy food, they experience it as somewhat sweet, even though their wolfy ancestors didn't. And so their taste preferences have changed because of their relationship with us, for better or worse for them. But yeah, now they taste more. They experience something more like us than they used to.
That is so fascinating. How long did it take you to come up with this series and to just discover, you know, these our taste receptors versus animals? I mean, how much research, how many years of research was this?
It's a good question. Yeah. So this started with a book called Delicious that I co-wrote with my wife, Monica Sanchez. She's an anthropologist. I'm a biologist. And you know, I think in some ways we've been writing this book for several decades in that we've been thinking about the biology and anthropology of taste and flavor anytime we got together with our biologist and anthropologist friends. And so sort of pulling those threads together and then researching it more and more. And that book set the stage for the series. And the series does what we couldn't do in the book, which is really bring together people with all of these expertise and to give them voice in the series in a way that, you know, you work with musicians. Like, oh, you get the chemist over here with their specialty. You get the chef talking about their perspective. And you can do that in a book, but not the way you can do it in the documentary series. And so it was so exciting to be part of this series that Ana Maria Talas pulled off.
Okay, so as I said at the top of the chat here, the first show has premiered. So what are we going to see in the next upcoming show?
You'll see more of that sort of that extension of that the human and non-human relationship with taste. It's just sort of the former story continuing from that first bit. And so if you like the first piece, the second piece will be even more satisfying in pulling those threads together.
Has your research shown that as we age, I won't say like get very, very old, but just as we age, do our taste buds and receptors change drastically, or do we get bored with certain taste, or what?
Yeah. So, you know, part of the experience of taste, you know, what your tongue experiences, mostly change stays the same, but your brain's response to that changes. And it's modified also by your brain's response to smell, which is this additional piece of taste. And it also changes in early life in ways we don't totally yet understand, but it seems like the tongues of very young children are really more responsive to avoiding things that are potentially dangerous. And so bitter is a stronger taste in young kids, and maybe part of the reason that often they don't like to eat, say, Brussels sprouts that we would like as adults, because their tongue is warning them, hey, this could potentially be dangerous. And we keep telling them, eat it, and they're like, no, my tongue says this is bad.
That's definitely little kids, for sure. Absolutely. So, okay. You mentioned earlier, you and your wife, the book was of great influence on this series here. Now that there is a television series, do you see a sequel coming to the book or what?
That's a good question. We'll have to talk about that over dinner. I don't think we have an answer to that yet. That's a very good question, Janice. It will be fun. It will be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, now you have such a big, huge audience here on Curiosity Stream. So there's a lot more to write about and feedback from the viewers, of course. So again, we will definitely, I saw the first episode of it. So again, is Taste the Flavor of Life docuseries airing currently on Curiosity Stream. So Professor Dunn, thank you so much for the work that you have done. And this is very fascinating to view.
What a pleasure, Janice. Great questions. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, take care then. We'll see you on the next episode of the series.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, thank you so much, Professor Dunn. My goodness, what fascinating programming. I had no idea that our taste buds are so vital. Yeah, I mean, of course, they're vital in our appetite and our nourishment. But to just see the in-depth knowledge of how fearfully and wonderfully our bodies are made and how everything is just in sync together, and to also know that we are so interconnected with our furry friends, our animal friends, who have a lot of the similarities that we have. And, you know, our taste buds is one of them, of many. So again, thank you so much, Dr. Dunn, for sharing and for creating such a fascinating program. And again, you can check it out if you have the Curiosity Stream. It is titled, again, Taste, the Flavor of Life. And it is a docuseries creation there. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Thank you to all of our guests. Everybody was so smart on our show lineup this week. Everybody was just, you know, they're smart in their liquor. They're smart about taste buds and smart about the planet. And Aaron from Deal or No Deal Island is smart about money and strategy and such on how to play a television game show competition. Just a lot here. So anyway, we're going to shut it down here. And you know what? If you're going to participate in Cinco de Mayo tomorrow, and I know you are because I am, just be safe, have fun, enjoy all the festivities all over. It's such a fun holiday. And we'll join you next Saturday for another edition of our show. I want to tell you this really quickly. We will be, I'm so excited because I'm such a fan of Vanessa Williams. We will be talking to Vanessa Williams very soon. I hope within the next 2 weeks. About her new album that just released last Friday, about a week ago. So stay tuned for that show. I'm just waiting to get the exact time slot and date. And then we'll be chatting with Vanessa about her first studio album in 15 years. And so I can't wait to talk to her about it. I think the short title of it is Legs, and you know she's got them. So we'll be talking to her soon. So anyway, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you guys next Saturday. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.